Welcome to Practical Purpose, where we combine academic research and spiritual tools to dive deep into how you figure out and develop your purpose in life. This is a no-fluff zone, where I'll teach you practical tools to learn why the heck you're here and the steps you need to take to confidently begin the next chapter of your life. I'm your host, Corey Russin. Welcome to the show. Hello, thank you for listening. I am super excited that you're here. A little warning beforehand. I am so sorry if the episode is a little bit fuzzy. I used a new microphone and I'm not super happy with the amount of fuzz background noise there is, but we make do with what we can, right? So I hope you still enjoy the episode and please feel free to let me know your thoughts on it. Hello, it's been a while. I am finally done. I'm finally done with my PhD, and I finally have some time to record a podcast episode. And so I know that I have had people ask me what my dissertation was about, what I was studying in regards to purpose, and if they could read my dissertation once I was done with it and once it was published. And the answer is yes, it is finally published. I will share a link to it in the show notes, and it's finally accessible. And I wanted to put together a little podcast episode that would share a bit about what my research was on, what my findings were, what I believe the practical significance of that is, what the future research implications are. And so if you are not a research nerd or you don't care, totally fine. I'm going to get into the nitty-gritty of things. I'm going to go into some of the historical background around purpose in life. I'm going to talk a bit about the problem I was trying to tackle. What is purpose? What's the importance of it? And we're going to kind of get into the weeds on some of that stuff. And I'll talk about what, you know, research methods I used. Really, I'm going to go through my dissertation defense. So if that sounds boring, feel free to skip this one. If you are a research nerd and want to learn a little bit about what I did, feel free to join me for this ride. So I'm going to just dive right into it. I'll share a little bit about how I'm going to walk through things. So I kind of have this in a three-part situation. We're going to talk about why. So why is this important? A little bit about my personal background. If you haven't listened to my podcast before, haven't heard anything about me, I'll share a little bit about where I stand within this framework. We will go into the historical background, the problem, what's the purpose, what's the importance of this research. The second part is going to be how. So what was my theoretical framework? What articles was I looking at? Who were the researchers that I really built a foundation on? What were my research questions? What were my methods? And then the third part is going to be what it means. What does this research mean? What are the results? What were the limitations? Because there are some very significant limitations to the research that I did. Any future research implications and the practical implications for this work. So let's just dive right into it, shall we? So a little bit of personal background for me. I have a bachelor's and a master's in psychology, and so that really shapes the questions that I ask and really shapes my understanding of the research. And so I was doing an interdisciplinary program. I had people who were, you know, masters of public administration, public health. We had a dentist that was in my program, people from all different understandings and backgrounds, and they helped shape my work. But really, my background is in psychology, and so that really shaped the questions that I was asking when I was doing my PhD. I'm a higher education professional. I've worked full-time in colleges and universities for 7 years and 8 years, really 8 years total, on doing work with higher education. So that really is the frame that I'm coming from, and it was partially the reason why I started my PhD in the first place. I had questions about what helped the adult learners that I was working with to complete education. And I was seeing that it wasn't necessarily a sense of belonging on a campus like the research indicates for, you know, student success, but really was finding that it was purpose, some sort of greater purpose that was tying my students to completion, like helping them to re-enroll and finish their degree. And so that's really what started my interest and purpose in life to begin with. And I'm also a trauma-informed coach, so I'm really interested in people. I'm interested in understanding how to utilize this research in a way that helps people move through really challenging moments of their life, and really am focused on asking questions that directly pertain to those people. So that really frames the work that I do. Those three elements of my background play a huge role in that. And so a little bit about the historical background of purpose. So people may not know that the actual empirical research of purpose is relatively new. So in the late 1950s, Viktor Frankl publishes Man's Search for Meaning and introduces his psychotherapeutic technique, logotherapy. So Viktor Frankl was a Holocaust survivor. He ended up writing Man's Search for Meaning after he survived the Holocaust, and spoke a lot about how the people that he saw survive the camps, and this is people who were not, you know, people who were going through this experience, and not, you know, the horrific things that were happening to people, but just generally people maybe who were sick or were trying to just like survive, had something to live for outside of what their current experience was. Viktor Frankl talks about himself and how what really kept him going throughout that experience was imagining himself talking about the psychology of this experience in a classroom, that he had had a manuscript that had been taken from him, and so he focused on rewriting that whole manuscript in his head or on little pieces of notepaper while he was going through this, and that was what helped him to, you know, move through that experience and to not give up. And so his psychotherapeutic technique, logotherapy, is very much focused on helping people to have some sort of thing beyond themselves, a purpose that is what they are moving towards, that helps them to, he called it a existential vacuum of meaning, when somebody didn't have something to strive for. And so that really is the first start of some of the empirical pieces of purpose in life research. And so James Crumbaugh and Leonard Mihalik developed the Purpose in Life Test, PIL, in 1964, which begins truly that study of purpose, and that is based on Viktor Frankl's work. And so in the late 1960s, purpose in life research peaks, and then it dips in popularity in the following decades. So you have this like really big boom of purpose in life research, and then that kind of trickles out. And it's not until the 1990s that the study of purpose begins to pick back up. And so this kind of takes from 1990s to now, multiple definitions of life purpose and sense of purpose enter that research lexicon. There's more robust data that pinpoints the importance of purpose in regards to psychological and physical health, including reduced stress reactivity. So all of these things culminate and then are starting to develop between the 1990s and now. So we start to have a more in-depth understanding of why purpose in life is important and why we should be studying it. Okay, that's all well and good. So what's the problem? Why did I decide to study this? Why is this something that became a focus for me? And I mean, thinking about this globally, the pandemic is really exacerbating negative impacts on individual psychological well-being. That's well documented. Sense of purpose is an element of psychological well-being, and it's this element of psychological well-being that is correlated with reduced stress reactivity, as well as physical indicators of stress. And so This has to do with, you know, people who have higher levels of purpose have better emotional regulation and general emotional well-being. People who have higher levels of purpose have lower levels of inflammation response and have improved markers of cardiovascular health. So it's not just an impact on psychological well-being, it's also an impact on our actual physical well-being. And what I found was that there's a lack of research that provides a really comprehensive understanding of the relationship between education level and sense of purpose. There are pieces that exist, but very little comprehensive research that indicates what that relationship is, and an exploration of whether or not there is a relationship between education, sense of purpose, and stress reactivity. There is an indicator that lower stress reactivity exists for those with higher levels of purpose, but there isn't this measurement of whether that is impacted by education. And since education is something that I am deeply invested in, it's where I've built my career, that was something that I wanted to understand. And I also wanted to understand it to better understand the students that I've worked with in the past. And so, in order to ask future questions about cultivating purpose and its protective factors, we need a clearer understanding of the role that education plays and how that role intersects with stress. And so that's really the problem that I was building on, and it became more and more evident that it was something that needed to be looked at in regards to the pandemic that we're living in. Another piece that is important is that there are lower levels of, enrollment in college and university. And so I wanted to understand if that is going to have an impact on purpose in life. And I can't answer that question based on my research, but I can at least ask other questions that might lead me to a better answer. So that's what I really wanted to understand, and the things that I'm curious about that led me to asking some of these questions. And so part of this as well is that, so purpose, thinking about purpose, as education level increases, purpose in life increases. That is what has been documented within the purpose in life research. And so what it has kind of said is that if you're saying for every one unit of education, purpose in life increases by like this amount, what does that actually mean? Like, for every one unit increase in purpose in life, or for every one unit increase in education, purpose in life increases by what? That doesn't help me. Like, I'm sure, like, you hearing that also is like, what does that even mean? Education doesn't increase by one unit. We look at education as a category. And so that's what I wanted to understand was, let's explore the relationship between sense of purpose and each category of education level. So some high school and no degree, a high school diploma or equivalency, some college and no degree, 2-year degrees or associate's degrees, a 4-year degree or a bachelor's, some graduate school and no degree, master's degrees, and then PhD or other professional degrees. I want to know, is there a difference in the relationships of each of these education levels? Are some of these, significantly correlated with purpose? Are some of them not? I wanted to understand if there is a difference there. And so when we are exploring that relationship, I also wanted to look at, okay, let's look at which categories are relevant. And then also, I want to explore the relationship between sense of purpose, education level, and stress reactivity. So, for each of those categories of education, is there an interaction between purpose in life and that level of education that impacts stress level? So, stress reactivity is how much you bounce from high highs to low lows in a stressful event. So what has been found in the research previously is that higher levels of purpose in life lead you to being more in a middle space where you don't bounce as high to high, like really high emotions, like, oh my God, this is the best thing that has ever happened to me, to really low lows of like, oh my God, this is the worst possible thing that could have happened. You stay more in a middle space where even in the face of like really positive events, you're a bit more even keel. And in the face of really negative events, you're a bit more even keel. So it's better to remain kind of not neutral, because we're going to have emotions and things that are impacted, but to remain more where you aren't reacting as much to those positives or negatives. It's much healthier to stay in that place. And so having a higher level of sense of purpose has led to lower levels of that stress reactivity, which is a positive thing. I want to understand if there's a relationship between that interaction, between purpose and each education level. Is it, you know, healthier for, like, is there an interaction between purpose in life and an associate's degree level of education? Does that have a greater impact on lowering stress reactivity than having a high school diploma? Does it matter? I wanted to understand some of that and take a look at some of that. So that is where that is stemming from. A little bit about the importance of this. So creating a deeper understanding of the role education plays in regards to purpose means that we can ask more questions. It will provide perspective on what educational degrees have the greatest impact on purpose, and it provides perspective on what does or does not impact the relationship between purpose and stress. And so understanding what does and doesn't is going to be able to open up future questions and avenues for research and be able to ask more deep questions. So a bit about my theoretical framework. So what was my research based on? Well, whose research was I utilizing? And so this study utilizes Dr. Carol Rift's model of psychological well-being. This measure really focuses primarily on the extent to which someone feels that their life has purpose and direction rather than on the content of that purpose or direction. So they weren't really looking at like, oh, this person has a humanitarian type of purpose, where this person has like a more self-oriented purpose. They weren't looking at the content. They were just looking at whether or not someone feels like their life has purpose and direction, that they have goals, that they feel that they can move forward in that. And so that's the definition of purpose that I was really working with. There are other definitions of purpose in life that are utilized. There's a couple of different ways to measure purpose in life, but that's what the study I utilized was using. And so within this study, purpose is embedded as an aspect of psychological well-being, and so that psychological well-being measure includes sense of purpose, autonomy, environmental mastery, personal growth, self-acceptance, and positive relations with others. And the study itself that I utilized, it's called the Midlife in the United States Study, or the MIDAS Study. It's one of the largest studies of development and aging in the world. It has three stages. It was a longitudinal study. So the first one took place in the 1990s, the second stage took place in the early 2000s, and the third stage took place in the early 2010s. I used the second stage, mostly because it utilized the same people over and over again, and so some people passed away or dropped out of the study. So the second stage had the highest number of individuals who were in the study and used a more robust measure of purpose in life. The first phase used a measure that didn't have as great reliability or validity, and so I utilized a measurement that was a bit better in the second MIDAS study with the largest number of people in it. So I ended up utilizing that phase. So that phase took place in the early 2000s. My research questions were, what is the relationship between education level and sense of purpose in life while controlling for psychological well-being, autonomy, which included autonomy, personal growth, environmental mastery, self-acceptance, positive relations with others. as well as life satisfaction, physical health. So this was measured using a measure, it's called activity of daily living. So it's how much your health inhibits your ability to do daily tasks. So that was my measure of physical health for this. And then religiosity, race, ethnicity, age, financial status, marital status, and sex. And in this, they use sex and gender to mean the same thing within the study. Again, it was done in the early 2000s, so I used the terminology that they used, but they really only they didn't give the option of doing non-binary at the time. So I just want to, say that in the beginning because this study has a lot of limitations, and that's one of them. And then my second research question was, how do sense of purpose in life, education level, and stress reactivity interact while controlling for all of these same elements that I mentioned in the first question? And so a little bit about my methods. So the study utilized, obviously, it utilized a study that had already been completed, so I didn't collect this data for my research. It's data from the -2. Only living participants who completed the -1 survey were eligible for participation in the -2 survey. So just a note on that. The way that they recruited people for this, so they used random digit dialing, which is literally what it sounds like. It is just calling people randomly. They had like phone books. They also were reaching out to nursing facilities for those who were elderly to participate because they wanted a sample of people across ages. So it really is just randomly calling people to complete a survey. And the participants were a probability sample of 25 to 74-year-olds. There were in this phase of the study, 3,487. They were from across the United States. This gets to another huge limitation in the study. 90.1% identified as white, so not a very diverse study. I will get to this in the limitations, but really we need a much more diverse study with a sample this large to be able to really generalize to the public. Doesn't do a great job of that. And then 53.3% were female, 46.7% were male. So the measures that I utilized were demographic variables, the educational attainment categories, purpose in life subscale, psychological well-being scales, life satisfaction scale, stress reactivity scale, the activity daily living scale, which is my physical health measure, and then religiosity scale, how religious is the individual. So my data analysis, this is for my real research nerds out there. So I had to handle the missing data. There was quite a bit of missing data. So I used full information maximum likelihood, which is a statistical method, to handle the missing data. And I assessed the distribution of the missing data. My regression controlled for all of the variables that affected the probability missingness. So I was able to use FIML. Not that anybody cares, but that's how it was done. And then I also tested for model assumptions. And so I created dummy variables for my education level categories. I'm going to breeze through this because probably most people don't care how this was done. It's really for my dissertation committee that they care what I did. And I used the category of high school diploma or equivalency to as my reference group. The reason you do that is because that was my like highest number of people were in that group, and so you want to compare to the largest like sample. You want to compare your other groups to that sample. I used a multivariate regression. I used SPSS and Stata to do my statistical analysis. So if anybody wants to, redo my work, there you go. For research question two, I created interaction variables for each of the categories of education, and with purpose in life. And so that was comparing those to stress reactivity. And then I used similar methods, same, you know, statistical packages, all of that jazz. So moving on to the next phase. The key findings for my research were the model for research question one accounted for 62% of the variance in purpose in life as explained by education level and all of my control variables. But what's really interesting, besides the fact that it covered 62% of the variance, because that means that my model is accounting for 62% of what purpose is explained by, which is a very large percentage when it comes to research. That's great for a model. You can think about like how many different variables probably go into what makes up purpose in life for a human being. And so the fact that 62% of what is explaining that is within this model is great. But what's really interesting is that the only education level that was found to have a statistically significant relationship to purpose in life was some high school no degree, so not completing high school. And so belonging to this category of education, education decreased purpose in life scores by 11% of a standard deviation. So what we were finding is that for those who hadn't completed a high school degree or an equivalency, purpose in life scores were decreasing. And so that's very different than what has been found previously, that as education increases, purpose in life increases. That's not what I was finding. And this is the same data that was utilized to determine that relationship. They just didn't look at it as categorical. And so you can find that relationship if you look at the purpose in life as a, or at, if you look at education level as a continuous variable, but when we break it down into categories, it tells a different story, which is really interesting. And so for research question two, it was found that that research question accounted for 37% of the variance in stress reactivity, as explained by purpose in life and all my control variables. So much less, really just showing that there's a lot of variables that account for stress reactivity that weren't in my model, which makes sense because I was looking at purpose to begin with, not necessarily what variables go into stress reactivity. And so it's not accounting for as much. But what's really interesting is that the only interaction variable that was found to be significantly related to stress reactivity was the interaction between purpose in life and the bachelor's degree level of education. So for bachelor's level education, one unit of purpose in life relates to a 0.07 decrease in stress reactivity. And so first, let me just note, so practical significance for this research is small. The effect size is small, so we can't like be up in arms about this. It's informing something and it is pointing to something that needs to be explored more, but it's a small effect size. So this really should be considered when determining interventions for future research. The education level of some high school no degree had a small effect on purpose in life, and the interaction between purpose in life and the bachelor's degree education level had a small effect on stress reactivity. So these are not huge effect sizes, they're small, so we just have to keep that in mind as we are moving forward with things. So why does all this stuff matter? So a little bit about research question one, looking at the relationship between education and purpose in life. So these results vary greatly from previous studies using the same data set. Like I said, the relationship most frequently found between education and purpose is that as education level increases, purpose in life scores increase. And so this data tells a very different story when education is analyzed as a categorical variable rather than a continuous variable. And it should be noted that education is not the main focus of any of these studies. This is the first study, to my knowledge, that really focuses on education as a main focus of the study related to purpose in life. And so each of these previous studies these previous studies provides a general understanding of a significant positive relationship between purpose and education, but it's really difficult to turn this into actionable steps without further examination and really looking at, you know, what category really is important when it comes to purpose development. So looking at this link, so what could be explaining the link between purpose in life and lack of high school completion? How could this be explained? So there's a variety of ways that we could look at this. Thinking about unemployment rates, there are fewer career opportunities for people who haven't completed high school. And the unemployment rate for those without a high school diploma was 8.3% in 2021, while the rate was 6.2% for those with a high school diploma and 3.5% for those with a bachelor's degree. And so lack of options may have an impact on one's sense of purpose, feelings of wandering aimlessly through life, not knowing what one wants to accomplish, lack of life direction. These all could play a role in this relationship. Another piece could be less financial mobility. So earning 29% less than their peers with a diploma on average, that's for those who haven't completed a high school diploma. And when we think about it from a Maslow's hierarchy of needs perspective, a population that is struggling to meet their basic physiological and safety needs of security, employment, potentially food and housing, may have less capacity to explore goals, intentions, and a sense of direction as this scale of purpose measures. And so less financial mobility could be a huge role in this. Another piece could be greater risk of adverse health outcomes. Those who haven't completed high school have the highest reported percentage of heart disease, lower rates of physical activity, higher rates of cigarette smoking. And so there could be a bi-directional relationship between purpose and health, where purpose in life, higher levels of purpose scores do not just show improved physical health outcomes, but higher rates of these negative physical outcomes in this population could be decreasing purpose in life scores. And another possible option is about degree completion. So goal completion impacts the perception of being able to set future goals. So purpose, you can think of it as the extent to which a person has goals, intentions, and a sense of direction, which contributes to the feeling that their life is meaningful. And when we're thinking about this, that Hoffner and Keith wrote an article published in 2021 that found that those who failed to reach highly difficult and specific goals showed a decrease in affect, self-esteem, and motivation compared to those who did achieve them. And so perhaps those who do not finish their goal of finishing high school face difficulty in setting future goals, and that these goals would enhance their perception that their life is meaningful. So that could also play a role in this decrease for those who haven't completed high school. For the other question, so looking at the interaction between purpose in life and education level on stress reactivity levels decreased for the bachelor's education category, which is a good thing. We want stress reactivity to remain low, so you're not bouncing from high highs to low lows. And so an interaction between these variables hasn't been explored previously. Ishida and Okada in 2006 found that increased purpose levels reduce stress and promote positive coping. So perhaps the promotion of positive coping is enhanced at the bachelor's degree level, potentially being away from home or newfound stressors. Maybe this can equal learning how to juggle competing priorities while maintaining homeostasis. It's a possibility. And also looking at the goal of higher education. So one of the goals of higher education is to facilitate the development of purpose and self-understanding. This has been documented by Colby in 2020, by Moran in 2001, and by Pasquarella and Terenzini in 2005. So perhaps this goal enhances the relationship between purpose, education, and stress at this bachelor's degree level. So what could be explaining some of this, some other reasons? Maybe reaping the benefits of a bachelor's degree. Another possible explanation for this relationship refers to what was discussed in the previous section. People who have finished a bachelor's degree earn higher wages, they have lower unemployment, they have greater physical health. So, whereas those who have not received a high school diploma are hampered in regards to purpose in life, perhaps those who have completed a bachelor's have an easier time maintaining homeostasis when reaping the benefits of the degree are combined with a sense of purpose. So maybe this plays a role in this relationship between purpose and education and stress. So we get to the limitations part. As I mentioned before, 90.1% of respondents were identified as white, and so future studies need to be conducted with a more diverse sample, especially given that prior research has indicated a potential relationship between education, race, and purpose in life. So this is imperative. This needs to be done. The next studies really need to ensure that they have a diverse population that they're working with, especially given this data was collected 20 years ago. So really we need to do better. Internal consistency of self-reported measures used in this analysis range from low to acceptable levels. So just the sole use of self-report measures may produce biased results. So when you're taking a survey, you're possibly putting down answers that you think that the researchers want to hear. So there is potentially bias in those results. So future studies might include some observational data where you're actually, you know, observing somebody to, you know, have more robust insights into a participant's sense of purpose and stress reactivity, putting them in certain situations, having a better, you know, a conversation about purpose in life might reap some more insights. And then also, so this data set utilized for the study was not created for the purpose of this research. I used data that had already been collected. You know, one of the things that our program mentions is the best type of dissertation is one that's done. And so I utilized that when working full time. I utilized data that I had access to. And so it wasn't something that I created for the purpose of this research, and so alternative measures of physical health and more robust measures of financial status could be really great, including measures like cardiovascular health or levels of inflammation. These have been found to be related to purpose in the past and may be beneficial to include in the future. Similarly, financial status was measured using a self-report question rating one's current financial situation. This could be biased, as someone who would be considered to be well off financially may rate their financial situation poorly, and vice versa. If someone in a lower financial bracket viewed their financial situation on that day as positive. And this was challenging because 89.3% of the data for there was a variable that was a composite variable of personal finances, so it included personal wage, pension, social security income. So it wasn't a self-report measure, it was like an actual measure of like how much money somebody made, but I couldn't utilize it because 89.3% of the data was missing in this data set. So we had to make do with what we had, so I used a self-report measure instead, but I would like to use a better measure of financial status in the future. And the current analysis should be considered an exploratory investigation. It's not giving direct answers. It was really just to explore these relationships, and so it really should be considered as such. Some future research recommendations that I have. One, again, utilizing more racially diverse sample to expand generalizability to a larger population. Employing other measures of purpose in life to examine the consistency of findings across definitions of the concept. Like I mentioned, there's different measures of purpose in life. And so some of the ones that I really like measure the scope, strength, and awareness of purpose. So McKnight and Cashton in 2009 clarified that purpose lies along a more complex continuum that's composed of these three dimensions. So the strength of purpose, the awareness of purpose, and the scope of purpose. And so exploring the relationship between categories of education, each of these dimensions of purpose, would offer more insight into the relationship between purpose and education and inform more robust practical implications, what you can actually do with that research. And another couple of examples of some different purpose measures they can use: the comprehensive measure of meaning, the CMM, is pretty widely used. It's a newer one that came out in 2021. There's a sense of purpose scale by Sharma et al. That came out in 2017. So these are some different ways of measuring purpose that might be really interesting to use in the future. And then another piece is greater exploration of the stress-purpose-education relationship. So qualitative research, my research obviously was quantitative, but qualitative phenomenological studies exploring the impact of the interaction between purpose and a bachelor's degree on a stress reactivity would be really helpful. So perhaps a study could employ interviews of those who hold a bachelor's degree and ask questions related to their college experience and purpose in life, how they cope with stressful situations, if any of these coping mechanisms were informed by their education, or if those mechanisms are impacted by their goals or sense of direction. Could be really cool to learn more and to give more depth to this research. And studying stress reactivity as a phenomenon within this population may offer more answers and clarify future research questions. Some practical implications. So interventions that are designed to either further support high school degree completion and or support the development of purpose for those who do not receive a high school diploma or equivalency certificate may provide favorable outcomes for well-being. One example is cultivating purpose as a pedagogy of care. Sharma and Yukimenko Lacroix have created this framework that includes five pedagogical processes, so exploration, engagement, reflection, articulation, and actualization of purpose. So that would be really useful to utilize with people on a larger scale. So perhaps implementing this really early in primary or secondary education could be helpful. After further exploration of the factors that contribute to the relationship between purpose, bachelor's degree level education and stress reactivity, creating programs to enhance this relationship, perhaps at earlier stages of education as well, could be really helpful. It's also possible that low levels of purpose in life may be key in decisions not to complete high school. It's also possible that low levels of stress reactivity are what is influencing the relationship between education level and purpose in life. So it's difficult in this current project to determine with any certainty what other factors are impacting these relationships. So we really need to do a little bit more research and have a better understanding before we implement these strategies. So, you know, in conclusion, this is the end of it. There were two novel findings that add to the purpose in life and education literature, provides timely information as we move through a global pandemic and mental health crisis, also calls for further examination of the relationship between not completing high school and purpose in life and the interaction between bachelor's level education, purpose, and stress reactivity. And so some practical interventions could result from future research. So that's the whole thing. That's my study. That's what I have been working on for the past few years. It's taken a long time to get this work out here. Like I said, I'm going to be sharing where you can find my dissertation if you want to read through it. You want to get into the nitty-gritty details and read my like whole literature review and all of that jazz. Also gives you other researchers that you can look into if you want to explore that a bit more. But yeah, That's it. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope I didn't bore you too much. And I hope you have a lovely, lovely rest of your day. Let me know if you have questions too. You want to hear anything from me, get my perspective on something, or have a question about why I did something the way I did, feel free to let me know.
If you resonated with what was shared in this episode today and aren't sure how to take action, start by writing down what really hit home for you. Moments of self-reflection are a great place to start on your purpose journey. And if you feel called to share the podcast with someone you know is ready to receive it, follow that feeling. Find all current offerings on yourpracticalpurpose.com. Subscribe and follow Practical Purpose on whatever platform you're listening right now. Leave a rating and a review. And take one deep breath and know that your purpose is already within you. You just have to take practical steps to develop it.